You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day and another week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. The big story of the day, which I've already covered with a previous commentator, i.e. Liston Mainchies, is the US jobs numbers. Where do they find 266,000 people that need jobs in 1 month? It's amazing.
Lindsay, good evening. No, it was an absolute, I mean, I think the local, a couple of the news agencies are referring to a blowout jobs report. And I have to agree, it was unbelievable. And of course, during the week, and you might have covered this or not with your previous
Doesn't matter, carry on.
So during the week, we had, yesterday, of course, we had the jobless numbers, which was the worst number on a weekly basis for about 9 months. And then on the Wednesday, we had the ADP job numbers, which is more, it's more the private sector. It's not government workers and so on. It's just what they call private payrolls. And that was a terrible number off a cliff as well. So, of course, the general is on Wall Street, they call it the whisper number, was for a very light number to come out. Completely the other way.
I think they said 187,000, didn't they? I mean, even that's quite big. But anyway, it blew that number out the water.
Completely. So I mean, it was a monster number. And off the back of that, there's been some very chunky moves. So we've had a the S&P back up near the highs, up almost 1%. Dow Jones, you know, flirting with that 28,000 levels, 50 points away. And of course, the knock-on effect with the dollar shooting lights out is basically gold getting smashed, commodities under pressure. Although the one that you and I chat every time about is palladium hit a new high. Of just shy of 80, it was 18,1880. So some huge ripple effects from the jobs number, Lindsay, and I think we're going to feel it going into next week too.
I think we are. We're also going to feel in Johannesburg anyway. And Cape Town load shedding.
That countrywide, I think it is. Yeah.
What is that? A wet coal or just cold weather? What's happening?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, they're saying capacity is being stretched, but it doesn't take a genius to work out that someone forgot to put the brollies up over the coal. And we have a lot of rain, a lot of flooding around. But of course, the effect of that is load shedding. It's what they call stage four, which is about as bad as it gets. I mean, my local area, for example, I've been told do not play anything after 8:30, i.e. get the braai on and make sure that the beers and the wine is cold before 8:30.
I was going to say, just get out there and get your Uber Eats or your delivery service right now, because it's 5:15 in Johannesburg.
And you know what the interesting thing about that is, because I always look at the effect of all this stuff, like how does it affect the markets? And the rand's hardly budged. The rand has not moved. And we've had that as soon as that stage four load shedding number came out, the rand weakened a little bit, it went straight back. And Jimmy and David Shapiro were talking about last night. There's some very strange stuff going on with the rand. Literally hasn't moved. And even more so today with the move we had in the dollar. So, don't know.
Let's have a look at that now, actually.
I think something is afoot.
Something's amiss. Exactly right. Let's have a look at those data. Actually, when I put on my market data page on sharenet.co.za, it says here, dear client, please note that Sharenet's telephone lines are affected by load shedding from 1600 to 1830 on the 6th of December 2019, and that is today. Should you require any assistance, etc.? Every single aspect of South African life is affected by no power. It's quite extraordinary.
Very extraordinary. Well, I mean, try run anything without any energy. I mean, whether it's a business or private capacity, or nowadays where the majority of businesses run off you know, the fourth industrial revolution, as they're calling it, requires broadband, requires fiber, requires routers, which require electricity. So, unfortunately, no, it's literally going back to the Stone Ages.
Rand doesn't care. It's 14.65 against the US dollar. It's set in 1922 against the British pound and against the euro. It's 16.20 with the euro dollar, 110.55. So the dollar stronger, the euro weaker today. On the overseas stock markets, the Dow Jones going through the roof, up 1%, as you quite rightly said. Just shy of 28,000 at the moment, a 1.02% gainer, or 281 points on my delayed screen. NASDAQ up 1%. 0.5%, nearly. The FTSE in London up 1.25%, the S&P up 0.9%. And across the board, things going well. We'll discuss that in a moment. You can tell me why. It's obviously the jobs numbers, but I don't see the logic of it. On to the commodities prices. The gold price not doing well at all, to the tune of $15 to the downside, or 1%, at $1,460. Still better than the first day of the week, though. Platinum is $8.93, which is down 5.5, and the Brent crude oil price has gone in the wrong direction for South Africa. $65.21, up $1.50 nearly, or 2.25%. I suppose the theory being that the US economy is doing so well, they're going to need to put some petrol in their cars, these people. The US stock market, simply a jobs number story?
Do you know what, Lindsay, we were speaking about in the office here. I mean, I just get really irritated with this because a lot of the stuff does not make sense. This is to put this picture into place. So here's a US economy which is clearly on fire. I mean, the thing is firing. We had some GDP numbers that came out last week, revised up from 1.9 to 2.1%. We've got, as you said, the Americans need jobs more jobs needed than they actually can give out. I mean, it really is a stonking set. And then in that environment, the Federal Reserve over the last quarter has cut rates three times, almost to emergency levels that we saw when the great financial crisis was on. So something like, what is going on here? I mean, why is the Federal Reserve so uber bearish and intent on slashing rates? And yet the US economy is about the only economy in the world that's firing ahead. It's just, I mean, someone made a comment here, sort of tongue-in-cheek, that Mr. Powell's been captured by Mr. Trump, but something doesn't make sense, really.
There is something wrong. And the thing is, and I keep on boring on about this, but you have to reiterate the point that I'm going to make many, many times, because the simple fact is, if the market wants to go up, it'll go up. And it wants to go up at the moment. And if it wanted to go down, it would have gone down today, because people would say, well, that's it, full employment, so rates are going to rise. So therefore, the money's going to become more expensive, so the US stock market will come down. But what people are saying is, it's very simple. The market is going up because corporate profits are going to do well, because the Fed is easing, even though we've got a booming economy. You see the point. It wants to go up, so it's going up, Nick.
Yeah, that's the point of least resistance, I guess, is upwards. And we always joke here, they call it the pain trade amongst the traders. Like, which way is this market going to move that's going to hurt people the most? We know a lot of traders are trying to short the market to pick a top. Mm. We know everyone feels there's too much complacency. I mean, heaven's sake, you know, we've been moaning about on your show that there's no risk price. No one's buying volatility. There's no one buying downside risk. But what's the easiest way for this market to move up? That's to continue to squeeze higher. Although there might be a little bit of a speed bump in that December the 15th, that is the date that everyone's talking about. Mr. Trump has to make a decision to either up tariffs or down tariffs or keep them on hold. So, but until then, this jobless number, I guess, as you said, if the market wants to go up, it just this just sort of reiterates, adds fuel to the fire, and it's going to keep on squeezing higher.
Any corporate news today from South Africa? I don't think so.
No, absolutely nothing. I think we had some, I think it was an import number or an export number. There was some local, let me see, there was just on my diary here. That was a business number from yesterday. No, we had some net gold reserves, forage reserves number, 8 o'clock this morning, but I mean, didn't move the market at all. That was for November. So no, it was very thin on the news front.
Okay, and let me have a look now.
I think has been pretty much sums up the week, really. It's been quiet, huh?
Yeah, it's been a very, very quiet week. There's been some half-decent volume. I think yesterday, 19.8 billion. We'll get to that later on. Let's have a look at now the big movers on the JSE to the upside and the downside, according to my delayed screen on sharenet.co.za, which keeps telling me that their phones are going to be down from now. Okay, the most viewed shares. This is an interesting one. Steinhoff. We spoke about Steinhoff, and I know it went to something like 110 to 115. It's now back at 83 cents per share. There was somebody that did something in the last few days, and I'd love someone from one of your chat groups, your trading chat groups, to tell me why Steinhoff went shooting up and then came down. Yeah. I mean, these are 20, 30% moves. They're massive. It's closed at 83, down at 1.2%.
And the majority of the boys who reside on Fricker Road in Johannesburg. Mm. I mean, this is lovely day trading stuff, because you're trading a penny share, costs you very little to trade. And as you said, you're getting 10, 15, 20% moves. But the roof is no news. I'm looking at my Reuters screen now, and it's got quite in-depth sort of background on news flow, etc. I mean, the last news that came out on Startup was 27th of November. So I mean, it's having 20% swings, and there's no news out.
So Banyu down nearly 3% before the close. Avenge up 100%, gone from 1 to 2 cents. And people still punting that thing. And Bluetel up 4.6%.
Oh, there's another one that's been moving. I mean, this I looked a few days ago, and we spoke about it with the three of them, wasn't it? The three ugly stepchilds, you know, with Telkom's ugly earnings, Blue Label, Cell C, MTN, everyone getting involved. Last time I looked, it was 3 rand 10, 3.50. Had quite a decent bounce up, but I see, I mean, even though it's up almost 5%, so it's back under $3. And you have to wonder what is going on with these shares. Again, the punters are all over them.
Yeah, let's have a look at the big movers to the upside and the downside, and you can embellish these ones because I'm slightly delayed, as you know. Let me just refresh my screen here. I have got the top five major moves. So the upside on the JSE today, according to ShareNet, I've got Sogo Sun, which is up 5.4%, nice move. Assel up 4.1%. Santam a 4% winner, let's call it. Hammerson up 3.75%, and Supergroup up 3.6%. Anything happening there that we should know about?
Well, the Hammerson is a continuation of yesterday, as well as the other UK-based property shares, with Sterling hitting sort of an 8-month high. And I see, look, it's obviously back a little bit today off its recent highs with the strength in the dollar. But I think there's a lot of people sort of, and don't have elections next week too. So quite a bit happening in the UK. And I think that's why you're seeing anything with a UK focused is certainly going to be on the leaderboard for the next week, definitely.
Yes, it is. What is it, 5 days now to the general election?
Yeah. And I must tell you, I've had so many notes in my inbox from various research and
houses,
and I can tell you now, no one really has a clue how this is going to plan out. They really don't. And if this weekend, if anyone's standing around the bra in the dark with the lights off, trust me, no one knows. No one has a clue how this is going to play out. I don't know, Lindsay, are you any closer to it over there?
Please. Who would you vote for? I mean, it doesn't matter because no one's listening. Who would you vote for? Corbyn? Swinson? The Green Party? I don't know who's in charge of that. Very nice chap. I've seen a couple of interviews with him, and he seems the most reasonable of all the politicians.
What about the Brexit Party?
Yeah, but you see, they're voting tactically. There's something going on. But is it going to be Corbyn or Boris the Buffoon?
Probably Boris the Buffoon. The sort of the populists, you know, what we're seeing around the world, are probably going to sweep back in. But he's not very populist, though. I mean, he does come from a sort of the establishment, doesn't he? I mean, it's hardly a populist prime minister in the true sense of the word.
If he had a go at Trump and he'd been honest about it, I think we mentioned this last night, he would have got another 4-5% of the vote, because people in the UK hate Donald Trump.
But Bojo was like nowhere to be seen. Like, they had the red carpet rolled out of Buckingham Palace for NATO, and apparently he was like literally, you can basically make out sort of his buffoon-like sort of blonde hair, mop of hair, like hiding behind the hedge at Buckingham Palace. Mm. Like, he just did not want to be seen in a photo op with Donald Trump. So I think exactly right. Staying well away.
Okay, let's have a look now at the downside on the JSE today, the top five movers or the bottom five movers on the exchange. AngloGold Ashanti down 4%, Sibanye down 2.9%, Harmony down 2.3%, Implats down 1.8%, and South32 down 1.75%.
There's the theme.
I was going to say. What is the theme there? The things that get dug out of the ground.
Yeah, anything dollar-denominated commodities are under a lot of pressure. So the dollar's had a really strong run off those jobless numbers that came out at 3.30, and it's knocked the price of spot gold. I mean, spot gold down quite significantly for the day, you know, almost 1% down. And as we know, these very geared commodity plays, especially the gold miners, which people like to play, as much as they run nicely on the upside, when things turn, they also run quite hard to the downside.
Okay, give us the closing prices for the JSE indices that you follow, plus the volume, please.
Okay, so start with the volume. Volume traded for the day came in at 18.4 billion, so it's a billion less than yesterday. And let's look at the all share nicely back over 55,000, actually. 55,307 for the JSE all share. That's up 527 points, almost a percent. And the top 40, even better, 0.98% up at 475 points, up 49,065. And looking at the different indices, consumer cyclicals, 1.3% to the green, basic materials having a good run too, and financials also having a decent run, up over a percent. And on the downside, as you said, healthcare, energy, and the gold shares dragging us low with that strong dollar.
My quote of the day comes from a site called brainyquote.com, and it's about employment. And it says the following: the Federal Reserve has an official commitment to two different policies. One is to prevent inflation from getting too high. They're doing well on that front. The second is to maintain high employment. They're doing well on that front as well. The European Central Bank has only the first. It has no commitment to keep employment up. And that came from a chap called Noam Chomsky, who I don't know if you've ever read any of his work, but he's an absolute genius. The European Central Bank has only the first. It has no commitment to keep employment up. And I think that's what the job of a government is. It's not to create jobs. It's to create an environment where jobs either come and go. Nick Kunze?
I couldn't agree with you more. I've spoken to you about this as well. It's not the government's job to create employment, and as well as it's not the government's job to run businesses either. We see it here and other places. You have these ego plays with South African Airways and the like. Government's job is to create a friendly environment, to create foreign investment, to create jobs.
Exactly. Thank you so much for your contributions all week. That was Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the final 5 o'clock shadow of the week. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.